Get your Bibles out. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter, 13. Second Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to look at one verse, but keep your Bibles ready. And I want to help you tonight. I am so excited about tonight. This is such an unbelievably simple truth, but this truth could totally transform your life. I've talked to three different pastors this week about this very truth and problems in their church. And it will revolutionize your personal life. It has mine, and I believe it will yours. It could revolutionize your marriage. It could revolutionize you with your children. It'll revolutionize us as a church if you'll just get the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, look at verse number 14 with me. Just one verse. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. We're going to lift that one little statement there. The communion of the Holy Ghost. We're going to talk tonight about the communion with the Holy Spirit. That's not the Lord's Supper, by the way. Most people have no idea what communion means. When you say the word communion, most people think of taking the Lord's Supper. That is not what it means. The word communion means having things in common or things in agreement. It has nothing to do with the elements of the Lord's Supper. It has everything in which to mean things that are in agreement, things that are in likeness, or things that are in common. Let me say it this way. It is a common denominator. How many of you all know what a common denominator is, all right? That is exactly what the Holy Spirit, that's a little bit about what the word communion means. I'm going to use what we have available, and this is not degrading the scripture at all. Brother Randy, can I get you for a second? I've asked three people to help me tonight. I'm going to show you what communion with the Holy Spirit is. When you tune an instrument, you have to have something by which you tune to. There has to be a standard. You all understand that? Miss Leanne, how about you? How about you play the tuning? You play middle C, you tune to C, right? But you play B flat, correct? Because the flute's a B flat instrument. But he plays C. Okay, so you're pretty close. Sounds like. Mrs. Barnes, you come up here. Play your. Now, what note do you play? G? Okay, so. Go ahead. Okay, so now they are in tune with the piano, correct? So in other words, being in communion with the Holy Spirit means they together sound and work with Him in tune. Now, how about you tune to hers for a second? Okay, you're a little sharp. Okay, one of you's off. Yeah, go ahead. Let's get you in tune with each other there. We're getting closer. A little off, not much. Close enough. Now, everybody stay right where you're at with it. Now, you two play, and you play. They're off, and he's not. They communed with each other, but they didn't commune with the piano. You all may have a seat. Thank you. Now, listen to me. The Holy Spirit would be the piano. When all the instruments are in tune with the piano, they are in communion one with another. But watch this. We're not to adapt and tune to someone outside of the piano. We, as sinners, one sinner tuning to another sinner, guess what? We're not in communion with the Holy Spirit. We're in communion with each other, but we're not in communion with the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me very carefully. Two people can be out of tune. A whole church could be out of tune because they're not in tune with the Holy Spirit. A family could be out of tune. God wants us to be in common or in tune with the Holy Spirit. As long as you're in tune with the Holy Spirit, as long as you're in tune with the piano, guess what? Everything goes together just fine. But when you decide to tune to something other than the Holy Spirit, somebody's off. And I'm here to tell you, it's not God. You see, God is to be the tuner, not man. God is to be the one to whom we tune our lives to, not each other. The Holy Spirit is who brings communion among people. My wife and I enjoy being with one another. If there's ever discord, it's because one of us is out of tune with the Holy Spirit, not because we're out of tune with each other. Beloved, let us love one another, 1 John chapter 4. For love is of God, everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. You give me any love relationship that's strained, I'll show you one or more in the relationship that aren't right with God. It's a walking with God issue. It's not a walking with each other issue. It is a Holy Spirit issue. It is not a personality issue. Everybody doing okay? Somebody say amen or oh me. All right. You see, the same is true in a family. If there's constant bickering, constant tension, constant fussing, can I tell you something? We're not in tune with the Holy Spirit. If there's bickering in a church, there's a Holy Spirit issue, not a people issue. We are not to be in tune with each other. By the way, let me just say it, because it'll go all over the internet. That's where churches and modern fundamental churches are going today. They're trying to be in tune with culture, not the Holy Spirit. They're trying to be in culture and up with the times. They're trying to be a little bit more like the world so that we can reach the world. How about we get in tune with the Holy Spirit of God?
Yes, sir.
How about we just do it God's way? Everybody doing okay? What's making Grace Baptist Church the church that it is? We're trying to tune up to the Holy Spirit of God. That's where you get statements like, God fund me, not GoFundMe. That's where it's, let's build by faith. Say, it's not real secure, preacher. God's never let us fall yet. And if he did, he caught us. Praise God. Man, I had a bunch of friends say crawl out on the limb and then they cut it off. It's okay. God caught it. You see, we are to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. When you're in tune with the Holy Spirit, you're in tune with the right people who are also in tune with him. We are so concerned about being in tune with this person and that person and this person and that person. Can I tell you how to solve that? Just get in tune with the Holy Spirit and who gives a flip? I get along with people with whom I disagree. Can I tell you how? I'm in tune with the Holy Spirit. I sat down on the plane today. I had a lady sitting here and a man sitting there. And I was the hot dog between the two buns. The lady sat down after the young man got in on that side, had tattoos. I thought, boy, this is going to be fun. She sat down, put her head back, that quick. I thought, man, hope she doesn't slobber. I got one left to talk to, amen? I said, you going home or are you going somewhere from here? He said, oh, I live in Bowie, Maryland. I said, I know where that's at. He said, you going home? I said, I am. He said, where do you live? I told him. He said, wow. I said, what kind of work do you do? And he's a boat mechanic. He's kind of in between things, and I'd say he's probably in his early 30s. Rough. He said, well, what do you do? I said, hooked him. I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. I pastor Grace Baptist Church. Oh. Brother, you're at the window seat. You can't get out. I got a lady sleeping in a stubborn Baptist preacher. You ain't going nowhere. You might go out that window, but you ain't getting out the aisle. Amen. He said, I haven't been to church in 17 years. I said, that's okay. I said, it's not always the going to church that helps you. I said, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? He said, I'm not even sure there is a heaven. Oh, we talked about 15, 20 minutes. He's all messed up. Well, you know, I just believe, and he just told me all his beliefs. I said, I let him talk for a while. I let him go in circle after circle after circle. I said, let me tell you something. Religion's man-made. Christianity's God-made. He went, okay, you're pretty tough. He said, that's one way to look at it. I said, no, that's the only way to look at it. I said, let me ask you a question, Doc. I said, if you're right and I'm wrong, I haven't lost anything. I said, but if I'm right and you're wrong, you're going to hell. Well, I guess if you believe it that way. I said, no. I had my Bible on my lap. I said, it's that way. And we talked kindly for a few minutes, and I opened up my Bible and started working. It was about an hour flight from Charlotte to here. I flew from Peoria to Charlotte, Charlotte to here. And I'm in the working away, and it's getting to the point where you got to put things up and before the stewardesses get mad and tell everybody on you. And I put tray table up, and I'm just finishing up a few things. He said, man, you work pretty intense. I said, you think I'm going to let you work on a boat motor more than I'm going to work for God? He said, you're different from anybody I've ever met. I said, don't blame me for what churches you went to. He said, you really are pretty tough, aren't you? I said, no sense in sugarcoating it. I said, I can't lose you. I reached in my pocket and handed him a gospel tract. I said, do me a favor. When you get off the plane, you get home. I said, would you read that? He said, yeah. He said, sometimes I get out that way. He said, I might come and have another conversation with you. I said, I'd love for you to. I said, my number's on there. You call me if you need to. He said, I just might do that. I said, good. Now, I didn't win him to the Lord, but he got the gospel today. He got beat over the head twice with it. And then I handed him a printed copy of it. Wait a minute. We're not supposed to try to tune up with that to reach that. We're to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. When I'm in tune with the Holy Spirit, I'm in tune with the right people. Too many of us are trying to tune up with our Christians, friends. We're trying to tune up with our children. We're trying to tune up with this group of people or tune up with that group of people. How about we just tune up to the Holy Spirit and let him take care of the rest? Now, let me give you three thoughts about this, and this is going to make your socks go up and down. Number one, this is how the early church in Jerusalem worked. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I'm going to show you how the Holy Spirit did this in the life of the church in the book of Acts. Look at Acts chapter 2. Look at verse number 44. And all that believed. Now look at me. That means who was that? The Christians. And all that believed were together, that's at church, and had all things in common. That doesn't mean that they sold everything they had, gave it to the church, and just let the church distribute everything. It means they were in communion with each other. They had all things in common. Look at verse 45. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. In other words, if Brother Juan has a need and Brother Mike finds out about it, Brother Mike might sell a tool or something that he doesn't need anymore and help Brother Juan just because he loves Brother Juan. That's what it means to be in tune or have all things in common. We're supposed to take care of each other. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach that the church is supposed to be a welfare center. Look at verse 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They agreed in soul winning. They agreed in the Bible. They agreed in the teaching of the Word of God. That gave them that commonness, that agreement, that communion. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Bible says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Let me show you what I mean. If I went to Brother Barnes and said, Brother Barnes, I need to borrow your ladder. Is it okay? He's nodding his head before I even asked what it was. Yeah, I said, can I borrow? Yeah, he's like this. He didn't hear what it was. Didn't matter. Say, why? Because that's what you do. Because we have all things in common. It's a matter of that because we're in tune with each other. Now, I'm not going to go to the local Catholic priest and ask him if I can borrow his Bible. No. Number one, he probably couldn't find it. Number two, he'd have to move three cases of wine to get there. And he'd probably get drunk on the second one. So he'd have to empty them before he moved them, amen? Now, having all things in common doesn't mean communism. It means commune. See, the liberals take a good word, twist it, and pervert it, and commune and communism are very close in word, but not in definition. It is a perversion of Scripture. All things in common means this. When you're in tune with the Holy Spirit, when someone has a need, the Holy Spirit will be there to help you fill that need. I had a friend who had a need. I flew to Illinois to preach for him this week, and God used me to help him and to help his church. Can I tell you why? Because I was in tune with the Holy Spirit. I wasn't in tune with him. I was in tune with the Holy Spirit. I had things happen I had no idea were going on in his church. He had things get fixed I'm not even sure he knew were broke. But because I was in tune with the Holy Spirit, God allowed me to do that which I cannot do. He did it through me, and they became one with the Holy Spirit then. Everybody doing okay? When people fuss at home, when people fuss at church, when people fuss with their friends, they're not in tune with the Holy Spirit. Our church is not to be in tune with the community. We're to be in tune with God. I think please don't get mad at me for saying this. I think one of the dumbest things in the world is to have a community church. The name itself lends to the perversion of what it is. A community church blends into the community instead of blending with God. Everybody doing okay? I'm not mad at them. I'm not saying people in there aren't saved. I'm saying most of them don't preach a doctrine to where they're saved. But I will say this. They have the wrong philosophy. They're trying to be in tune with their area. Everybody doing okay? How about we get in tune with God and use God's methods, God's books, and be in tune with Him and watch what God can do? Number two, I gotta hurry. There is no such thing as church discipline in the Bible. It's church tuning. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. This is going to separate me from some Baptist brethren, and I don't give a flip. There is such a teaching out. It was out more so years ago, but in the last 10 years, it's resurrected its ugly head. People have what they call church discipline. That means somebody does something wrong, you bring them up before the church and tell the whole church what they did wrong and shame them and try to get them to do right. Folks, that's wicked as hell. That is not what Matthew chapter 18 teaches. Let me show you what it teaches. Look at Matthew chapter 18, look at verse number 15. Moreover, if thy brother, stop, look at me. Who's a brother? Somebody who's saved. Shall trespass against thee. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Now watch this. But if he'll not hear thee, then take with thee one or two or more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let it be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Now watch this. I counseled a pastor this week. He had a 17-year-old and an 18-year-old that became immoral with one another in the church, two different families. These two families can't get along now. They won't even meet each other. And now one of the families wants church discipline incited and get up in front of the whole church and tell them how bad the other kid was. Folks, that's a sin of two people, not one. I was working on this point when the phone rang to help that pastor. I said, brother, let me show you something. I shot a picture of it while we were talking and sent it to him. He said, wow. I said, I'm working on it right now, just so you know. I said, number one, that's not what church discipline is. He said, I agree with you 10,000%, preacher. We talked about it. Now watch this. I said, meet him halfway. I said, no kids involved. Have both sets of parents meet you in your office with a couple of your deacons. If they won't fix it, say, okay, we're going to bring it before the church. But before we bring before the church what they're doing, we're going to bring before the church what you're doing, because you two can't get along and you're bitter and you need to get right with God first. Notice what it says. It says, first of all, go to the brother that you did wrong to and try to fix it. If he won't hear you, go get a couple witnesses and say, look, we're here. I want to fix this. And in front of these guys, I'll tell you the wrong I did, but let's get this resolved. If he still won't resolve it, you don't tell the church what the problem is. You tell them that you need to get things resolved and somebody won't resolve it. It doesn't say that you tell them what sin it was. Right. Everybody doing okay? Now, in verse 19, look at the word, look at it again. And again I say unto you, or verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, you shall ask, and it shall be done for them for my Father which is in heaven. The word agree is the word commune. In other words, if I've done Brother Dorsey wrong, and I get right with God, and I get right with the Holy Spirit, and I say, help me get it right with him, and I go to him and say, I've done wrong, I need you to forgive me. Watch this. If he agrees to forgive me, guess what happened? Stand up. We're not in agreement with one another. we're both in tune with the Holy Spirit. It's not that he's in agreement with me. He's in agreement with the Holy Spirit. Have a seat. Too many of us in our homes, we want everybody to follow what we want. How about what God wants? When people can't get along, they want others to resolve with them or to be in tune with them. The problem is that they see themselves as the piano, not the Holy Spirit. They think they got the corner market on the Holy Spirit. Can I use a phrase? Wrong answer. When you think you're really that spiritual, you better get humbled real fast. This is why people in the church want to expose people's sins, because they're not the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit never comes and tells you somebody else's sin. Everybody doing okay? Yeah, the Holy Spirit doesn't come to me and say, Joe Lopez is a really bad sinner. Well, we all knew that. But he doesn't come to me and say, preacher, this is what Joe's sin is. He'd been drinking again. And he gave up drinking. He's just down to chewing now. Now, wait a minute. And Leanne's getting mad at that because she hates tobacco juice. Amen? Now, wait a minute. Not going there. Some of you are confessing your own sin now. Don't look at me. Too many stories up here. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't come tell you what somebody else's sin is. The Holy Spirit comes and convicts you. We're to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. If I'm in tune with the Holy Spirit and he's in tune with the Holy Spirit, guess what? We're in tune with each other. If I'm in tune with the Holy Spirit and he's not, his problem, not mine. If my wife and I are at odds with one another, she's right with the Holy Spirit and I'm not. Amen. Got that one down, didn't I? Now, wait a minute. When people get in tune with the Holy Spirit, they will resolve their differences and they'll be right with each other because they're right with God. If you cannot resolve something, get on your face before God and get it fixed. When you have to ask somebody else to get fixed to God, you're the problem. If Brother Dorsey and I have a problem and I'm right with the Holy Spirit, I'm not asking the Holy Spirit to change him for my sake. I'm asking God to get a hold of him, to get rid of the evil and the sin that's in his heart so that God can get what God wants, not so I get what I want. I don't ask God to change people's opinion about me. I want them to get their opinion changed about him. Everybody doing okay? Man, that's good stuff. Number next. The Holy Spirit and being in communion with him keeps us in the same light. Turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. Folks, I had so much fun in my hotel room this week. I was about ready to have a spell. I was glad I was on the second floor and nobody else was up there, but everybody on the first floor did not know what was happening. 1 John chapter 1, look at verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have, watch this word, fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now watch this. Brother Dorsey, come on up here for a second. He and I are going to have fellowship. Here's the problem. If he's in the light and I'm in the darkness, we can't fellowship. Light and darkness never fellowship together. Light always chases darkness away, but darkness must yield to light. Now watch this. But if he walks in the light and I walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. But notice, he's not the light. It's not his light. We're not using his light. We're using his light. Thank you, Brother Dorsey. Let me show you what I mean. Take your Bible. Turn to, look at verse number 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have to cleanse ourselves to get to that light. We have to be clean, no darkness. Turn to John chapter 1. Many of these verses are very familiar to you. John chapter 1. Look at verse number 4. In him, that's Jesus, was life, and the life was the what? Light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, capital L, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, both of those capital L, that was the true light, capital L, Jesus, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Hey, it's not Brother Dorsey's light that gives us fellowship. It is the light of Jesus Christ. It is the light of the Word of God that gives us the ability to fellowship. It's not my light. It's his light. Turn to John chapter 8, verse number 12. John chapter 8, verse number 12. I just took a few verses. I could spend quite a while on this. I won't. John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Wow. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Those are the words of Jesus Christ himself. Look at John chapter 9, verse number 5. John chapter 9, verse number 5. As long as I am the world, I am the light of the world. Look at Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. This one's going to make your tail feathers pluck. Acts chapter 9. Look at verse number 3. And as he journeyed, that's Paul, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Guess who he was talking to? The light of the world. By the way, that's why Paul became an apostle, because he saw Jesus personally there. Now, Jesus is the light. Let me show you what's happened. Brother, let's go have fellowship. And we go over here and we go to the restaurant and we sit down and we start talking bad about everybody that we know. We're out of the light. We're in fellowship with each other, but we're not in fellowship with that. We're not in fellowship at the light. We're in fellowship in darkness. I don't talk gossip about people. Preachers, people in my church, and I don't listen to pastors talk gossip about people in their church. You heard me mention a situation in church. Guess what? I don't know the people's names, and I wouldn't know them if they walked through that door. I dealt with a situation, not people personally to whom I know their name. Everybody doing okay? You can fellowship with somebody, but you can't commune with them. You can fellowship in darkness, but you're only in tune with each other. You're not in tune in the light or in tune with the piano, which is Jesus. Too many of us think that we're in harmony and you're off pitch. Thank you, Brother Dorsey. Now, we have to first walk in the light, and others must walk in the same light. Now, please listen to me. This is how you get along with somebody with whom you don't totally agree with 100%. You walk in areas of light where you do agree. I have friends I don't agree with 100%. We know where we differ. We stay away from that. We stay in the light. We agree on the King James Bible. We agree in soul winning. We agree in methods. We might have some differences here or differences there, but we're okay in doctrine together. Watch this. But I avoid those issues where I know I'm going to be different. I've preached for people that I don't agree with 100%. Say, what do? You go there and preach what you believe? No, I preach about things I know we won't have conflict about. It's called being a gentleman. Everybody doing okay? Doesn't mean they're wicked people that are sending people to hell. But we're just a little different. I may or may not ever have them here to preach, but I'd preach for them. I may not want them to preach here because I may not want them to reveal where we're different to you. I'll protect them. Everybody doing okay? Now let me say this. That's how you get along with your grown children with whom you disagree. Look at 3 John chapter 1. There's only one chapter. 3 John, look at verse number 4. There's only one verse off. 3 John 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Let me show you what that does not say. It doesn't say I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in all truth. Too many of them, if your children don't agree with you 100%, to the boogeyman they go, and you'll lose your fellowship with them. How about you commune about things that you do agree with? Everybody doing okay? Someday, as my children get older, they may or may not agree 100% with everything the way they were brought up. But if they agree about 75%, we're still pretty good. Even if it's 50%. I don't care if it's 5%. We can agree about things 5%. We can avoid the other 95% of things. And I can still love them. That doesn't mean I spend all my time with them. Everybody see where I'm headed with this? Same thing with your friends. Some of you have friends that have scattered. They've changed. They're not what they used to be. Avoid the things that you know you differ about, but still be a friend to them. I have a friend I hadn't talked to in over 10 years. Just went through a real bad heartache. I looked and looked, found his phone number, got a phone number. I texted him and said, look, brother, I hear you're going through a tough time. Just want you to know my wife and I were praying for you and your family. And I got two words back. Thanks, Craig. We sent him a nice card and different things. I got zero response. He's still my friend. Wait a minute. This is a guy that said he was changing on the King James didn't need to be inspired. It's just preserved. I said, don't you talk that mess around me. Get out of here. You know what I believe, and I'm not changing. I said, we can talk about things we agree about, but don't you go down that road with me. That was the last conversation we had. He's never contacted me since. But I still loved him when he went through a hard time. I agree with him on that part of it. Oh, by the way, I wouldn't call him a liberal. I think he still has people saved. I think he's an idiot. But it doesn't mean that I hate him. Everybody doing okay? Just because they don't believe everything you believe doesn't mean that they ought to go to the booger man. Some of you will destroy relationships because somebody doesn't agree with you 100%. Who made you God? If you stay out of the darkness, you need to stay out of the areas of talking about darkness. If someone is in darkness, quit talking to them about darkness. Talk about light. Bring them to the light by talking about light, not where you differ. Too many people want to study false doctrine to figure out how to help somebody. Can I tell you how to help somebody? Preach right doctrine. You don't need to study what the Catholics believe. You don't need to study what the Mormons believe. You don't need to study what the Jehovah's False Witnesses believe. You don't need to study what the Lutherans believe. You don't need to study what the Shintos believe. It's all you got to do is understand what the Word of God says. Why do we want to then pick apart people where we differ and say, well, I know you're different here. Okay, you just put your dukes up and started a fight. Why do you even go down that road? As I said Sunday, why push that button? Too many of us enjoy pushing the button thinking that we're going to get them to change. No, is all you're doing is pushing them farther and farther and farther and farther away. How about we talk about the light, not the darkness? Boy, that's good stuff. When we say the light, it's talking about truth. When people want to be the authority and not the Bible, that's where we have problems. Boy, we ought to be in communion with the Holy Spirit. Brother Mike, do you know that the Holy Spirit leads gently? Brother Randy, he leads quietly. He doesn't get you in fights. He doesn't get you in arguments. I didn't argue with the infidel next to me today. Tattoo people, amen. And the lady slobbering next to me, I didn't argue with her. Fortunately, she turned her head towards the aisle. Now, wait a minute. Some of us enjoy getting them riled up, but you're not in tune with the Holy Spirit. We need to work on being in communion or in agreement with the Holy Spirit. When you do that and quit trying to force people into your mold. Well, if they're not like me, they didn't get what I got. No, because they're not you. Thank God I'm not Fred. And Wally's glad Fred's not me. Can I tell you something? Nobody's the same. Well, I just don't understand. When I got it, I got it. Well, that's you. That's what you needed. That doesn't mean everybody else didn't get what they needed. You're focusing on things that bother you. How about being in communion with the Holy Spirit? Let's not point out each other's problems that we think they have. How about we just point out the truth and let's walk in truth? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Truth. It doesn't say that they walk in all truth. Let me show you what I mean and I'm done. Somebody will come in this church, get saved, live like an animal before they get saved, come here, get saved, get baptized, and their life starts changing. You say, bless God, look how wonderful that is. And some of you have your kids grow up, and one of them will do something wrong, maybe get out of church, and you think they're the second coming of the Antichrist. And they haven't done one-tenth of what that person just did that walked through the church that you think is a wonderful Christian now. Everybody doing okay? I love you. Ouch. Let's quit playing the Holy Spirit. Let's quit trying to be in tune with each other. Let's quit trying to tune others up to us. How about we just get in tune with the Holy Spirit? And as long as we stay in tune there, guess what? Even those that are in the darkness, they'll reveal themselves, but they might come to the light. We don't change to be what they are. We don't force them to be what we are. We just stay tuned to the Holy Spirit, that we might have communion with the Holy Spirit. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I promise you a truth that could revolutionize your life, your home, your marriage, your children, your grandchildren, your church, your work, your extended family, all of it. Let's be in communion with the Holy Spirit. As